Psalms are amazing for a variety of things. One of them is that Psalm 136 is beautiful for what is a responsive reading. So I'm going to read a portion of it, and every time I get to the end of a phrase, your response will be, "His love endures forever." We heard about this last week where God's love for us endures consistently. It is a forever going type of love for us. It doesn't change. It doesn't adjust. It is love for us. So his love endures forever. That is your phrase. Can you practice that with me?
His love endures forever.
Excellent. So you guys understand how this will work. I'll read the phrase, then you respond with, "His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. Who gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. I would encourage you at some point in time to go and to look at Psalm 136. Not only did I skip some of it, but it does a great job of showing what God did through the Exodus and God's amazing works and wonders through that. And sometimes we need that reminder because God invites us to remember always what he has done. Well, good morning. I apologize for the snafu there of technological issues. That is funny. I don't know any other way to say it than that. But I'm glad that you're here today. Glad that you have braved the weather that is quite chilly out there today. But it's Iowa in January. What else are we going to do about it, right? But so glad that you're here. Couple of things, just quick reminders. This is a week that is a grab and go meals and a Hope Kids type of night along with youth groups. So you kind of know the deal. Grab and go meals start at 6 o'clock. That is for anybody. Come on down to the church, kids. You'll have Hope Kids and youth group that start at 6:30. And we just invite you to be a part of what's going on and not forgetting that we have a parents life group that starts at 6:30 as well. Let me take some time and pray for our time together this morning, and then we'll dismiss our kids for Children's Church today. Father, thank you so very much for your grace for us, your love for us. That as we can look at your word specifically, when we look at Psalm 136 and we realize, Lord, you have done great things. We realize that. We know that to be true. And we know that your love for us endures forever. Not just because you created, but because you loved us so much that you would create. You loved us so much that you would put into place the various things of life that you did through your creation and the way that you worked in the lives of Moses and the people of Israel as you led them out of the Exodus. God, we remember that because of your word. We also know that in our lives, you are just as faithful, and that your love continues for us, and then it endures forever for us. And we're grateful for that today, God. Lord, as we live our lives, will you help us to have not only just courage, but have strength? To have a longevity to our relationship with you, that it doesn't, that it consistently grows and grows and avoids the the peaks and the valleys. We know they'll happen, but help us every state of our lives to just grow and grow and grow in you. And along the way, God, when we have things that bombard us, because life is that way, we know who we can turn to. We know who we can trust in. We know that we can fall on our knees and seek your face because you are God. And so, God, walk with us through those things. Lord, at this time of year, we often hear of folks that are enduring sickness and illness and things of that nature. And God, I just pray that your hand of mercy would be upon our friends, our loved ones, maybe even our neighbors that have endured difficulty in their health. God, will you watch over? Will you protect? Will you heal where it's necessary? And will you calm hearts as well? God, you are good. We love you. We thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, you're dismissed to meet your leaders in the back and to go for Children's Church today. So what do you look for when you buy a car? Do you look for good gas mileage? Do you look for comfiness in the seats? Do you look for four-wheel drive? Do you look for a variety of things? One thing that I think we could probably say is that we look for versatility. We look for things that we can utilize that car for a variety of types of things. When it comes to furnishing your home, do you look for versatility in your furnishings and your things of life? Sports teams look for versatile or flexible or utility type of players to outfit their entire lineup. Like you know this, but we're switching. The Broncos are out of the playoffs, so now we're going to switch to baseball. The baseball teams will often find a versatile, they call it a utility infielder, one that can play multiple positions in the infield. And if they can play the outfield, even better, because then one player can be utilized in many different places. We look for this type of flexibility in a variety of areas in our lives. I think there's tools that guys and ladies, you would know that in your kitchen you look for a versatile kitchen knife that you can use on cutting a variety of things. You can cut with those individual ones, but you look for versatility. Guys in the garage, you're looking for a multi-tool sometimes that can do seven or eight jobs. That's why they're those big ones that fit on our pocket that are like they used to be called like a handyman tool or something like that. It had pliers, it had scissors. It wasn't the Swiss Army knife, but it was like the Swiss Army knife of tools. We like some versatility. We like some flexibility. We like some utility because it's just kind of a good thing to have. I have a couple of tools that I know. I know that if I don't want to break out my skill saw, I can use this other thing, and I don't even know the name of it. I just call it the zizzer because it makes lots of noises and it's loud, but it can cut through PVC, it can cut through wood, it can cut through all kinds of stuff, and it's just awesome. Now, you might think, I know that name. Right now, I don't care. I just know it's the zizzer because that's the noise that it makes. Versatility is a good thing. It's an awesome thing. And the reason why I bring that up today is because Psalms is a versatile type of book of the Bible. There are specific Psalms in here that really will speak to us at certain times of our lives. Psalm 1, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, when you're feeling that overwhelmed sense of place in your life where you're just not connecting well with God, Psalms 1 I believe, will help you kind of steer yourself back into it. Psalm 139, if you're struggling with a little bit of your identity and not knowing who you are, Psalm 139 will correct your course real quickly because it reminds you that God is the creator of all things, creator of you, and it will get you back to a basic understanding of who you are and who God is. Psalm 23, if you want to be reminded of the shepherding nature of God, Psalm 23 is for you. That is a specific type of psalm, but it's versatile because Psalm 23 might hit you in a different place where you hear it for the very first time in that specific way, and it just speaks to your heart in a great way, in a totally different experience. It's kind of like that favorite song that you have that you just blare in the car, in the radio, because you still do that. You may not do it all the time, but you'll still hear that song that you love, crank it up, and you might catch a little phrase that's in a song that you have heard 100 times, and that one little phrase speaks to your heart. Or maybe you've heard a psalm read in a particular scenario multiple times, but finally that one simple verse just speaks. That's what the Psalms are. It's like when you're at a funeral and you've heard Psalm 46 read at this particular funeral, and you're like, wow, I didn't realize God's word said that. That's the joy of the Psalms. So my encouragement to you is this: take your time. Go through the Psalms, read them, let God's word just wash over you like a soothing balm, and let his word speak to you. And I'd encourage you to start as soon as possible because the Psalms, the word of God, oh my goodness, it's powerful. So with that, let's get rolling. Psalm 46. If you got your Bibles, open them up, turn there, and we're going to look into this particular psalm. As I've kind of already mentioned, we've looked at Psalm 1, we've looked at Psalm 118. Today, we're going back in Psalms time to Psalm 46, and we're going to look at this particular psalm. This was actually a favorite psalm of Martin Luther. It inspired him to write the hymn that you might be familiar with, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Just for the fun of it, I'm going to sing it. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. This particular psalm is one that I have read numerous times at funerals. In fact, I almost always include this particular psalm because it's powerful. And I think you'll understand why as we work our way through it. So let's get through it. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He makes the bow and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress." There's something in this particular psalm that I didn't include on there, but after verse 3, after verse 7, and at the very end, there is sometimes in your Bibles a little word that is called Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And typically, when that is in there, it is used for a couple of things, but one of the particular things that it is used for is a moment of breath, a pause, kind of a take note of what you have read, take note of what you've done, but also a moment where you can just breathe. So at the very end, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Is the type of thing that it's saying is just slow down, breathe. This particular psalm begins with a really important and big statement. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Massive statement. And this is a truth that we can hold on to. We can grasp. We can really just hold on to. Because an overarching theme within this psalm seems to be about the response to trouble or the response to difficulty. And we know that in our lives, trouble, difficulty, these types of things, it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when we will experience difficulty, suffering, pain, trouble, heartache. All of those things are something that we're going to experience in our lives. And we know this to be true because it's not just evident in our lives and the people that we know, their lives and everyone else that's around us, but we know that it's true because it's in the Bible as well, because people that we read about in Scripture experience difficulty and struggle and pain and heartache and just, it's overwhelming at times, isn't it? Yeah, when you think about Job and all that he had to endure, not only did he lose all of his children were killed, but he lost all of his livelihood. And then he was attacked on his body, sores and things like that. Oh my goodness, you think of Joseph betrayed by his brothers? Sold into slavery, jailed. Whew. Can we talk about David and what he endured being the anointed king of Israel, but not actually becoming the king for 20, 30 years and being hunted by the guy that he was supposed to succeed? Whew. Now, he did make some his own troubles. Let's not deny that. But that's too much. Too much. And we could talk about others. Daniel being thrown into the lion's den because he prayed. Seriously? We could really just pull out so many people in Scripture that endured so very much. So troubles and difficulty and hurt and heartache and pain and sorrow, all of these things are things that we're familiar with. And you and I are familiar with these things as well. We didn't even talk about grief and the loss of family, the loss of loved ones. We endure these things all the time. But the psalmist mentions troubles or difficulties that are beyond their control. The earth give way, mountains falling into the sea, waters roar and foaming and mountains quaking. While we don't go through those types of events, isn't it true that sometimes the things that we experience feel as if the world is coming to an end? Anybody ever express that? Like, the world is crashing down in on me? You may not have said those exact same words, but don't we feel that way sometimes? Don't we feel as if everything is the no good, very bad day, like that old children's book from years and years ago? Sometimes it's not a laughing matter because life just is hard, isn't it? So what do we do in those types of situations? How do we manage? How do we deal with such things? I think the first thing is to sweep it all under the rug and put on a happy face and just go about our business with a smile. What do you think? I don't think you liked that. Not so much, huh? So then do we put on a sad face and we mope? Maybe. I think the idea behind what the psalmist is writing and what the psalmist is communicating to us is that we have to realize a few things. The first thought is this. We have to realize that when trouble comes, God is our refuge. Okay? Now, we don't utilize the word refuge so much in today's society, but the reality is that when we think about a refuge, we also realize that God is continually available to us. Let me unpack that. Refuge indicates an Old Testament practice of cities of refuge. This was a place where if there was an accident in your community and you were the causer of this accident, say that you are chopping wood and the axe head of your axe flies off, and it hits somebody and they end up dying, an accident, you didn't mean to do that, you could result a lot of problems and trouble. So the rule is that if you had an accident such as this and it caused an injury or death to another person, you could flee to a city of refuge and they would receive you and you would not be held responsible for the situation that took place. Okay, so you could run to the city of refuge. And you can read about this in Numbers chapter 35. The city of refuge were always available to you. Fascinating, isn't it? Cities of refuge. God is like these cities of refuge. He is always available for you. The open for business lights are always on just for you, just as if the cities of ancient days, if there was someone that caused an accident, they could always go to those cities of refuge and live, survive, live out their days with no problems, no issues. Very interesting. So when you are facing something that is insurmountable, you have a refuge that is God to hold on to. You have a refuge that is always available for you no matter what. When we face something that seems to be insurmountable, we don't argue with it. We don't argue with hurricane force winds. We don't argue with a flood. Sometimes it's pointless to rationalize the difficulty or the trouble that we're in. We just recognize that God is our refuge and we go to him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is our refuge. He is who we go to whenever we have difficulty because he is a refuge and he's always available. Along those same lines, God is always adequate. So when we need him and we go to him as our refuge, he is always our strength because he's always adequately equipped to take care of us. Going back to the city of refuge thought, it would be pointless if these cities of refuge were easily breached, broken down, or their walls were torn down. It would be pointless, just like it would be pointless to say that God is our refuge if he's unable with the strength to endure the onslaught of the trouble that we experience. Stuart Briscoe writes this. He says, "There is no way trouble can come into a person's life, however overwhelming it might be. There is no way it can come and be greater than the strength of God to enable you to survive it. There's no trouble that can come your way outside the permissive will of God. Satan can throw all the forces of hell at you, but God is your strength. The risen Lord is adequate. He's the one who this psalmist says breaks the bows, shatters the spears, burns the shields. His strength is more than enough. The issue sometimes is that we do not always return to him as our refuge. We try to stand and fight. And I think we know this to be true, that we try to take it on ourselves. But he is our refuge, and he is adequately equipped to take care of every scenario. And the other part of this is that God is always readily accessible. He is our refuge. He is our strength. But the psalmist says in verse 1, he is also a very present help. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The God of heaven loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. God raised him up and sent his son, and the son spent the spirit to dwell in you. He's always a very present help in your life because God's spirit is in you. God Almighty is always available. Second thought is this, is realize that God resides with us. That God resides with us. Verses 4 and 5 in the psalm says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. God's tabernacle resided in Mount Zion. Mount Zion is often equated as the city of Jerusalem. So God resided in Mount Zion, and which is in Jerusalem, the temple of God. And he is a God of overflowing grace and overruling serenity. And he is therefore a God of power and purpose alive within you. If you really believe that, then when trouble comes, and your attitude toward trouble, it has to be different. You have to realize that God is resident in your life, and he's the God of power and purpose of the Most High. Verse 7 says this, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with us. First of all, a couple of things that really stand out in that verse. The first one is that the Lord Almighty, or the Lord of hosts, is translated as the words of Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah actually means the self-existent one, and Sabaoth means mighty armies. So what we're getting at here is that God is the self-existent one who has at his call an unbelievable resources of great power, Jehovah Sabaoth. Now, I realize that when it comes to trouble, that the Most High God is in the midst of us, but we sometimes forget that the Lord of hosts is with us. Because we sometimes just have the inability to see and to remember that he is with us. The other thing that is in this verse that is so powerful is it says, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Who was Jacob? Jacob was one of the sons of Isaac. And he was the one that was the second born twin, and he was the grabber, literally. He was grabbing the heel of his brother as he came out of his mother's womb. And he had this knack, Jacob did, for deceiving, thieving, stealing, and kind of taking advantage of anyone and everyone around him, especially his brother. Stole his birthright. because of a bowl of soup. Bizarre, but it happened. But then it was up until Jacob was on his own and he's wrestling with God that his name is changed to Israel. It took a long time for Jacob to come around. It took years for him to realize that he had a call on his life that was valuable and important. And when it says the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress, we have to realize that this God that we serve is a patient God that would walk with Jacob for many years and be patient with him as he eventually came around. The God that we serve is patient, loving, enduring, and he is always with us. He resides with us. When trouble comes, we know that we have a God who resides with us, walks with us, knows us, and is patient with us as well. Last thought is this, or last point is this, not the last thought. We have to realize that when trouble comes, that God sends a river of blessing to his people. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God in his uniqueness, God in his divine wisdom and knowledge is the one that sends a river of blessing to his people, to you and to me. And in Ezekiel 47 and in John chapter 7, we can read about a river that of God that flows to the city of God. A fabulous picture of the Spirit of God that flows to us. In John 7, it says specifically, Jesus who said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So Jesus is talking about a Spirit of God that will flow and that if any man is thirsty, will come to him and drink, and the streams of living water will flow within them. This picture of the river is a picture of the activity of the Spirit of God. There's a glorious river that God sends out, nothing less than the flow of the Spirit of God straight from the throne of God, and it brings refreshment. When we are seeking and we are in those moments of difficulty and pain and heartache and hurt and all of that, and we realize that God is our refuge, that he is our strength, that he is the one who walks with us and endures with us, we are encouraged by a Spirit of God that flows from the throne of God. And we are made glad. That's what this psalmist is talking about, that when we rejoice in knowing that God is our refuge and his strength, we are encouraged, we are built up, and we are reminded that we are a child of God, and we are reminded that we are loved by God. Now, I know that this sounds all really nice. It sounds wonderful. Rainbows and roses. It's almost too good, isn't it? Yeah, and all of this, in all the beauty of what this psalmist is writing, I need you to realize that this is not just beauty or poetry, but the point is strength. The point is that there is power of a river of God that flows to you that is undeniable. Not only is the flow of a river strong and the impact of the surrounding area is strong when you realize the power of water and the benefit that it may have on plants and animals around it and people. And this is the reason, this analogy of rivers is the reason why cities all over the world began their existence by placing themselves near a river. The river provides a blessing. Do you know that the largest city in the world to not be located within a few miles of a river is Lexington, Kentucky. It's the only city in the world. And I know you're probably thinking, how in the world are you going to connect this? Because you might be thinking, you're lost. Where are you at? I'm not lost. I need you to catch this. The river of God provides blessings. The spiritual blessing of the river of God that flows from the throne of God to you is a blessing in your spiritual life. When you realize that in your life you have the word of God that flows to you, the spirit of God that dwells within you, you know that you have a refuge, you know that you have strength from God. Yet, what we also need to remember is that we just have to go to him and he will help us withstand. He will help us to endure. He will be the one that will calm our hearts. He is the one that will fight our battles. He's the one that the banner of love flies from him and his throne. And he's the one that we can hold on to. Yet, will we, in the face of trouble, in the face of difficulty, will we go to him? Or will we go to ourselves? So we realize a couple of things. That God is my refuge. And because he is my refuge, I will not be troubled. Realize that God resides within me. And because of his presence, I'm immovable. And that God sends a river of power through the Spirit, and God is invincible. Final thoughts. Verses 10 and 11. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Twice, this psalm repeats the last phrase, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Reminder that God Almighty is an omnipresent God, that he is with you no matter what scenario you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever joy, whatever pain, whatever scenario that you are enduring, the Spirit of God is with you. And the God of Jacob, the God of patience, the God of willingness to walk with you through the craziest things in your life is a fortress, the one whom you can come back to, the one whom you can stand among and know that there is no attack from the enemy that will defeat him nor you, because you are present and you are safe in his care. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You can run into it and you can be safe. But he doesn't, don't neglect what it says in be still and know that I am God. This is the first time in this psalm where God himself interjects. It becomes a first person interaction from God to his people. Every other point of this passage has been us acknowledging something about God. This is the only time in this passage where God speaks and he says, be still. It's not a gentle reminder. It's a command. Be still. So I need you to catch this. I need you to understand that all of what we've read so far, all the talk of trouble, all the talk of life just being destroyed by the difficulties and struggles all around, the psalmist writes what God speaks and says, be still. Relax. God's got it. Be still. Be still. This isn't go sit on a lounge chair and relax. That's not what that is. What it really is speaking is let your heart be still. Calm yourself down. Breathe. Breathe. And know that He is God. He is your refuge. He's your strength. He's ever present with you. When the world comes crashing down and the waves seem to overwhelm you, you know where your refuge is. You know where your hope is. You know where your help is. You know where your strength is. In fact, you know that God is going to do great things. But you got to be still. Calm yourself. Don't get yourself wound up. Don't get too excited. Calm yourself. Let God work. Be still. Let your heart be still. What we end up doing many times, and I know this to be true because I do it in my own situations where when things kind of get out of control, things get out of hand in my own life, I'm a basket case, and I'm running from one person that I trust that can speak some truth into my life and telling them that, hey, you need to solve this problem in my life because that's who you are. You love me, and so therefore solve the problem. And then I run to somebody else, and I do the exact same thing with them. And then maybe I go to my brother. Maybe I go to my other brother. Maybe I've already talked to Andrea, and we've already handled that situation, and we've solved it, but I keep on spinning out of control. Anybody else with me on this? And I'm not still. God says, when the trouble hits, you know where to go, but be still. That's probably the one thing that we don't do as well as we should, is that we know we can go to God, and so we go to God, but we're not still with Him because we're trying to solve the problem even though we've gone to God. Have you ever taken all the baggage that you have and you placed it at the feet of God and you just realized that when you got done dumping everything out and spreading it all out and putting it in categories and saying this is wrong and that's wrong and this is that, and we have problems everywhere, what we end up doing half of the time, if not more, we grab all those things, we put them back in that pieces of luggage and we take off with it and we think God's got it. No, we just carried it out the door with us and we didn't leave it where God can work because we kept it for ourselves. And God is saying, I'm your refuge. Bring me everything and be still. Calm yourself. Breathe. I'm God. I've got it. Let me work. And then He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. Those are words of restoration for us because exalted means worship. So not only are we to relax, but we are to worship in our relaxed state, knowing that He's got it. And some of us need that today. Some of us need to be reminded that when we are wound up, when we're enduring, because we are enduring so many things, go to God as our refuge. Know that He is our strength. Know that He is an ever-present help. And know that He is faithful. But be still. And know He is God, and the only thing we have to do is worship. We don't have to solve the problems. God's got them. He will work. He will speak because He is faithful. And that relationship that we have with him will be restored. And it's beautiful. Let's pray. Father, knowing all of this, knowing that we will have things that come up in our life, thank you for Psalms that draw us back to reality, that remind us that you are our refuge, you are our resting place, you are our hope, you are our strength. And in the midst of all of our running about, we know that we can come to you and that your spirit and your presence is always with us. Thank you for being a patient God, that in the midst of our running about, you are always there waiting and ready for us. And that when we have the mindfulness to be still, to relax, to have our hearts be stilled, you are capable of working. You're always working. We know that to be true. But sometimes we need to drop everything and just know that you will work. So God, thank you. Thank you for the reminders of be still and know that you are God and that you will be exalted and that the God of Jacob is our fortress. We pray all this in the name of your son, Jesus, whom lived, died, and was resurrected so that we might have salvation. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today and worshiping along with us. Why don't we finish our time with some singing? Please stand and we'll worship our Savior.